we have a great mix of folks that have been here for 30 years, and we have folks that have been on for less than 6 months. That combination is ultimately how I'm going to be successful, having the right people, and I have great people.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. Any investor I know would be ecstatic to see a return of $40 million on an initial investment of just $150,000. But that is exactly what has resulted from the seed money that the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes invested in a tribal-owned startup in 1999. SNK Technologies manages a complex government acquisition business that includes a landmark $4.2 billion contract from the U.S. Air Force. In addition to managing contracts with the U.S. military, they also work with the Department of Energy, the Department of the Interior, and 93 other foreign military customers. Currently, SNK Technologies includes 8 companies and more than 1,000 employees. From its headquarters on the Flathead Reservation in rural Montana, the company operates offices throughout the United States and around the world. Today on Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, we are joined by CEO Chad Coddett, who took over the operational reins in 2018 after serving as board chair for 7 years. We will discuss how the company created 8 sustainable operating entities, building unique capabilities in engineering, research, logistics, systems integration, and technical data management from scratch. I'm Arnie Sherman. Production support for this Can Do podcast comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. Chad, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I appreciate you inviting us to your corporate headquarters here in beautiful Polson, Montana. It's a beautiful day today, and thank you for the invite.
It's our pleasure. It really is.
So tell us a little bit about the mission of SNK Technologies.
We actually redid our mission statement last year and to more align with what we were created for. Our mission is to bring back dividend or dollars to the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes for their use for health, welfare, youth, elderly, and other benefits local to the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes.
So in 1999, the Confederated Tribes invested $150,000 in the startup of SNK Technologies. What have you returned since then back to the tribal members?
As of the end of this fiscal year, we'll return just under $40 million to the tribes on that investment.
Are they happy with that investment? Because any venture capital investor would be tickled to death.
They are. They're incredibly appreciative because of what they can do with that. That's unattached dollars. They can benefit the youth and elderly with those dollars. And so it's been an incredibly great relationship between the corporation and the tribes and their appreciation of what we've contributed.
And how has the company grown since 1999? What was it when it started and what is it now?
That's a pretty funny story that it was actually a division of SNK Electronics back in 1998. And electronics, of course, does a manufacturing mentality where technologies is always slated to be a services, government contracting and a services. And so it spun out of SNK Electronics in 1999 to do government contracting. 3 people, I believe, were in the company at the time. There was more dollars coming in from the tribe to support the corporation than there was going out to the tribe. Since then, it's grown. The contracts have grown. The number of companies and how it's organized has become a real model for what we have on the reservation as far as corporations go.
What are the family of companies now that comprise SNK?
I kind of put me on the spot. There's 8 of them. And so SNK Technologies is a holding company now. And there's SNK Aerospace, Logistics Services, Federal Services, Global Solutions, Security Group, Support services, international towers. Oh, and SCR, so engineering and restoration.
And how many employees now are part of this cadre?
We just passed 1,000. So we have over 1,000 employees in the United States and across. We have over 100 employees in Saudi Arabia.
This must be one of the largest native-run corporations in the United States.
You know, the large corporations for Native Corps are the ANCs, the Alaska Native Corps. But Lower 48, I don't look at that. Don't try to figure out where we compare in overall, but we're probably in the top 3 to 5.
And all these companies are owned by the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. How does that relationship work?
The S&K Technologies, being the holding company, then creates LLCs.
Limited liability corporations.
Yes, sir. Organized by S&K Technologies, but approved by tribal council as the shareholder of S&K Technologies. And so we take those when we see a need, a market need, an opportunity. We take that to our board of directors, and the board of directors decides whether or not that it is a real opportunity, and therefore take it to tribal council, who again is the only one who has the ability to create these LLCs. Once that's done, it's managed as a subsidiary company of S&K Technologies. And so as CEO of S&K Technologies, I'm responsible for managing the presidents that end up managing those companies.
Are the tribal goals and the business goals of the corporation compatible?
They really are, being that they took a subset of those tribal goals and passed that to the corporations that say, deliver dividend back to the tribe for their benefit, that we look at tribal employment, and then we look at being a good corporate citizen. We donate to the college, we give scholarships to the college, we donate locally for the benefit of those on the Flathead Indian Reservation.
Right, and you're referring to the college, Salish Kootenai College.
The Salish Kootenai College, we partnered with them on a number of things, some NASA efforts and then the scholarships that we give.
You were chairman for 7 years, and in 2018 you became the CEO of S&K Technologies. How do you compare those roles with one another?
Truly, there's not a comparison. There's responsibilities as a board chairman and as a member of the board overall that all board members have to oversee the financial well-being of the corporation, to give policy and direction. You take that in, and the CEO role is operational. How we do it, theirs is the what they want to see as a board member. Mine is accomplishing those goals, those tasks, and following those policies. And so that was a little bit of a transition for me, being on the board for so many years. But the board is incredibly supportive of the corporation, a very intelligent and understanding board that are following the directions of the tribe on how they want to see things and what they want to see. And they give me the opportunity to operate, to manage, to meet those goals.
Before you were involved with S&K Technology, what was your career trajectory like?
I started with a small company called Tamsco years and years ago. Tamsco got bought out by a company, which got bought out by a company, which got bought out by a company. And before I came here, I ended up as director of operations for a fairly large global corporation called DRS Technologies, which still has an operation in Polson, Montana.
And now you have a responsibility of 1,000 employees, including 100 in Saudi Arabia. How do you manage that from Polson, Montana?
I think that you'd get this answer from a lot of people, and that is, we have great people. Our presidents of companies are C-line staff, and so that's the chief executive, which is me, chief operations, chief administrative, chief corporate development, and chief finance officers. It's all about surrounding yourself with good people and building a good team. And we have a great mix of folks that have been here for working for tribal corporations for 30 years. And we have folks that have been on for less than 6 months. That combination is ultimately how I'm going to be successful, having the right people, and I have great people.
They're not all tribal members, however.
No. The mission and what it delivers to calls to a lot of different people that they're giving back. The SNK Technologies isn't about making the rich richer. Nobody's getting a Lamborghini based on the dividends and the profits that we make. It is going to the tribe. And that mission of service, some of our presidents are retired Air Force. Some come from NASA. Our C-line has been in industry for a long time. It's a combination of all of those, of folks that really see our mission as something that they can dig into and want to be part of. And that's important to who we are.
How did the company learn to maneuver the complicated world of government contracting?
You know, several of our presidents, again, came from government contracting on the government side. And so they had some past experience there. But again, it started out with only a few people who had to learn that on their own. Dermot O'Halloran has been with us for 33 years. He learned it, owned it, went out and knocked on doors to get SNK Technologies past the infancy into where it was growing. Rita Matthews has been with us, I think, 32, maybe 33 years. Those two and dedication of folks like that and gave us the opportunity to grow and then hire folks with skill sets that compounded that interest and gave us our skill set that where we can be successful today.
We're speaking with Chad Cotted, CEO of SNK Technologies from their beautiful corporate headquarters in Polson, Montana. Today's show is brought to you in part by the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. I believe that the largest contract that you've gotten to date is $4.2 billion contract from the U.S. Air Force. Has that brought any specific or unique challenges with it for you to manage?
That particular contract is the highest revenue contract that we have, but it's also the least profitable contract that we have. And so it has to be managed incredibly well in order for it to deliver. Every contract brings its own unique challenges on understanding it, workforce, profitability, and all those things. And again, it goes back to our employees, our presidents, our C-line, and then all the way to the folks that are actually doing the contracts and the expertise that they bring for us to be successful.
I find it fascinating that the contract, I think, requires you to interface with dozens of military organizations around the world.
Over 90, actually. There's the contract itself is a foreign military sales contract to supply parts and other things to over 90 countries around the world.
Do you partner with other U.S. companies in order to fulfill this and other contract obligations?
We have partners, we have a ton of subcontractors, and then we have vendors on this and other contracts. We partner with, I couldn't even possibly guess how many companies as they're the prime, we're the sub, or we're the prime, they're the sub, in a vendor relationship. It's almost essential in government contracting because no company has all the qualifications to do some of these bigger contracts. You go find a sub that you can trust, one that adds value back and forth between you, and you go win some work and accomplish that.
Do you have a mentor that you work with? Is there somebody that you go to for advice or guidance as you build and grow the company?
The board of directors serves in that role in a lot of ways. There is a 5-person board of directors. They have an extreme wealth of knowledge amongst them. So I go to them a lot. We meet once a month and go to those folks in the middle of that as well. On the other hand, the source of operational bounce is the staff, the presidents, the general managers, and the executive staff here. Like I said, you know, we have several with 30 years. There's hundreds of years of experience at my fingertips to just walk down the hall or pick up a phone and get.
You've been involved as we alluded to already, as the chairman and the CEO. Looking back at your tenure, are there things you would have done differently?
I think that Monday morning quarterbacking is a fairly normal thing to do. I think overall that if I had to do things over, it's going to be a broad. It's not a specific. It is that very seldom am I disappointed in if I make decisions quickly. The more regret is not making a decision and seeing how it plays out. Having control, having trust in your people, that and moving forward in a deliberate manner is better. Always has been. 95 to 99% of the time, don't second guess, make a decision, move forward, and give an opportunity to adjust that decision. It's when we wait that there's problems that occur.
Yeah, there used to be an old adage, you don't want to make the wrong mistake, right? You're going to make mistakes. It's going to happen in business, but you want to make sure that you act. And if you have a mistake, you can manage it and minimize it. You've grown over this period of time substantially, and you've operated debt-free. How has that happened?
You know, we took on debt recently for the benefit of the company. We could have financed some of the things, but cash flow is big when you're getting as large as S&K Technologies is. Again, I give credit to the Confederated Salish Kootenai Tribes and the Tribal Council for allowing certain retained earnings in the company so that we can grow. The wisdom of the board that looks at the budget, looks at the finances, and sees that S&K Technologies, the goal isn't just the dividend to today, but the sustained dividend into the future. And so to take all of the earnings out year over year would eventually fall the company off of a cliff. The tribes and the board have seen what that would do. And again, you know, looking at the Confederated Salish Kootenai Tribes, it isn't about today, it's about the future and generations, and so the corporation's really no different, that tomorrow is just as important as today.
And is tomorrow maintaining a stable operation, or is there ambition to build and grow and become larger than a 1,000-person company?
The ambition is to steadily grow. You don't want your dividends and your revenue to look like a heartbeat monitor. It is sustained growth overall so that the tribes can use that for their own uses. Is it sovereignty? Is it food? Is it education? You know, those things. And again, that's my job is to run this company and deliver the dividend and work with the board and for that growth. It's the tribe's job to determine what that money does and what path that takes.
What advice would you give to a new CEO taking over operations of a company for the first time?
Run. and then second, trust your staff. The folks around you are the ones who are going to build you up. Make sure that they have clear direction. And then let them go. It you can't do everything. There is no way for you to know everything and do everything. So don't try. Concentrate on what you can and trust your staff.
For you personally, what is the future you'd like to see for S&K?
As a tribal member, I take great pride in what S&K has become since the 97 being a division of electronics and where it's come today and the leadership that took to get us here. I truly want just the growth and the partnership with the tribes, the board, and the tribal membership to continue to grow so that we can deliver on the promise of more and better for the tribes.
Chad, this isn't the only company that is managed by the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes. What else does the tribe manage, and how do you relate to those other companies?
There's several corporations that are managed by the Confederated Salish Kootenai Tribes and managed particularly by boards that the tribes have put together. Energy Keepers, which is the dam, S&K Gaming, Eagle Bank, S&K Holdings, and then, of course, S&K Electronics, of which we spun out of, is still operating and doing really well. Every year we get together as a semi-annual. That is probably my favorite meeting of the year with the tribes and the corporations to hear what great things that they're doing. Other than that, we're pretty independent and pretty independently owned. But I have recently, over the last year, started meeting with the CEOs of those other corporations, intelligent, great people with the same mission that we have. And I've grown from those interactions as well.
And do you meet with the corporations that the other tribes in Montana operate?
I do not. You know, we've partnered, we've looked in different timeframes, but I don't meet with the other tribal corporations in Montana or across the United States for that matter.
Since 1999, there's been a tremendous amount of growth for the company. Can you tell us how that all happened?
When S&K Technologies spun out of electronics, the intent was to utilize the SBA, the Small Business Administration, advantages, in particular 8A, which is for disadvantaged companies that are created. We have used the 8A program to gain contracts. Those contracts built qualifications. Those qualifications led to the next contract and so forth and so on. Of the eight companies that we currently operate today, two or three of them are in the 8A process. The other ones have graduated and some are coming in. We continue to work well with the SBA to gain those qualifications as they came up and therefore win contracts with the quals we gain from that advantage.
And how many contracts do you currently manage, roughly?
I don't even know. You know, eight companies and probably 10 contracts, 80 maybe.
You have very many highly technically skilled employees as part of your overall workforce. What kind of work do they do and what kind of projects are they involved in?
I think it's important to first look at how the organization is organized as a whole. And so we have the S&K Technologies, which is the holding company. Under that, we have business units. We have three business units: aerospace, critical mission support, and engineering and security. Under those business units are our LLCs. We organize like that so that there's a business unit general manager at the helm of those business units who has the technical expertise and the skill set to manage like companies. Those business unit general managers then report to the CEO, but they're responsible for the oversight day-to-day working with the individual presidents. That is, although fairly new in the corporation, has proven to be incredibly useful in how we get experts helping experts run companies.
And what kind of work are they doing?
The individual companies, it is everything from janitorial to the parts and repair that we talked about on the PROS contract, manning at NASA, and virtually everything in between. The government is obviously huge. They have movers on staff. They do pictures at different times. There is so many things. And of course, the government outsources those or put those out for contracts. We have capability and past performance that we can do a wide variety of things from the services and engineering to the manning and almost everything in between.
How competitive is the bidding landscape for government contracts these days?
The bids from the U.S. government is on a pendulum like everything else. In 1 minute, it's the LPTA, which is lowest price technically acceptable. And so if you can meet the absolute skin of what they're looking for, if you have the lowest bid, you win. All the way to the other side, that is what benefit that you add. Is there a services add? And therefore, the dollars aren't as important as the capabilities. The government has addressed that a number of times with critical military support to whether you're ordering toilet paper. If you're ordering toilet paper, lowest cost is probably a fine theory, and everything in between. And so if you're doing more important deals, you know, you're manning a support help desk that's looking at satellite bandwidth for a company, the lowest price may not be where you're looking or where the government looks. However, it is a pendulum of where they actually post those requirements. On LPTA, it is incredibly low dollar shootout competitive. On the other side, you really do tout your expertise. You try to sell the value add to the U.S. government on the other side. And we have contracts on both, and you just make a business decision if you want to go after them.
I know there's an advantage of being an 8A firm in the bidding process. Is there an advantage being in Polson, Montana?
To the bidding process, there's really not. Our ability to utilize the 8A process, and I'd hate to speak for the SBA, but I think that we're a shining example of what 8A should do. We've utilized that advantage. We've grown our capabilities, and we do compete on the free and open market a lot. And so that's the intent of 8A. We do that quite a bit. As for being in Polson, our advantages of being in Polson, our employees are across the reservation, the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes and Flathead Reservation. The advantages of that are that our people are more tied to the area. They're looking at having a sustainable, meaningful income and a contribution to the corporation locally. And so, quite honestly, there's a little more buy-in. There's a little more ownership of our employees, and it makes a difference.
Given the fact you work with the U.S. military a lot and foreign militaries, do you have security clearance for your employees?
Each contract has its own requirement, and as the CEO, I have to match the highest security requirement in the company, so I have a top secret. But we have a number of contracts that require facility or secret, and it's all a matter of what contract it is. But yeah, there are a lot of folks throughout the corporation that are cleared.
Chad, this has been a fascinating conversation. I look forward with great expectation to SNK's future.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Peter Hoag and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guests' contact information and content from all our shows. Join us next time when our guest will be Jeff Fee, founder and CEO of Patient One, a patient-focused digital healthcare startup. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you peace and prosperity.